I pray that we never take it casually. Coming up on Easter Sunday, and I just pray that you guys just be a light to this lost and dark world. There's so many people who don't know the Lord, and just encourage the people you come in contact with. Encourage them. Come, you know, bring them to church. Bring them to, you know, share the truth with them. That even just one would be saved. The opening scripture I have is in Proverbs 14, verse 12. And it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, just take out all the distraction of this room, the clutter in our minds, our thoughts that aren't of you, Lord, so we can really hear what you have for us. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, stir in our life, Lord, that we just seek your way, your righteousness. Let your Holy Spirit flow through me. Speak your words. Don't let me get in the way. Change my brothers and sisters. Receive your word. Have them receive your word on good ground in their heart. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I'm taking this off. I titled my sermon, "My Way Versus Thy Way." And I think you'll find that a lot of what I have, what God has for you today, not I, is in tune with some of the messages we've been talking about the last few weeks, about understanding who your identity is, about giving your heart to the Lord, surrendering yourself to be a sacrifice to the Lord, for Him, to glorify Him. And now we're going to talk about your way versus His way. See, God has plans for us. His ways are not our ways. We as humans are planners. I mean, my wife in particular is a planner. She has a certain way of doing things. Everything has a certain order and method of how things need to be done. I'm sure you have people in your life that you can relate to that. And when changes happen in plans, she gets a little stressed. Just a little. That's just us in life. You know, we have schedules and programs in hand of how we want to do things, how we're going to live our life, and how we're going to do things our way. And that change, when change happens, it causes stress and grief, pain, change, understanding why did God take Dad away? Aggravation, it causes additional work in our life. It's okay to make plans, but you need to question, what are your plans? What are your ways? What are your devices? What are your methods? Are they truly selfish? Are they designed to fulfill your own lustful desires and goals? Or are they for Him? That's the change that needs to happen, and that's what we're going to talk about. In Proverbs chapter 16, verses 9, it says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." We just talked about giving your heart and needing to have a heart after God. In that same chapter, Proverbs 16 is just fantastic. But in 16, 1 through 2, it says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. See, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit," the heart. Remember we talked about giving your heart because the Lord looks upon the heart of man. See, we can say, well, God's having me do this, and you know, this is what I'm going to do in my life because that's what God told me. And you may say that to appease your brothers and sisters in Christ. You may put on this facade of, here's what I'm going to do because it's of God. But deep inside, God knows whether you're really seeking Him. And you're seeking His will and His way of doing things, His plans for you. You each have, God has a plan for each and every one of you. He has gifts He's given you too that you can use in your life to touch others, to glorify Him. The gifts aren't for you so you can be boasted and lifted up. It's to touch others, to reach others who don't know the love of God. If you love God, you're going to seek Him first, and God will change your plans, and it ends up resulting in something better than you could ever hope for or imagine. The feelings that I have the last few weeks are, the way I feel about life right now and where God's directing me, I just have this joy and excitement of this journey of like, what's next, God? What do you got for me next? And we're going to talk about some of this here, but I want to go to the story of Jonah. And I'm not going to read you the all four chapters of Jonah here, but I want to kind of go through the points as I was reading here. Because the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said to go to Nineveh and speak a message. And Jonah said, I'm not going. I'm going to go my own way. So he decides to get on a boat and head to Tarshish. And he says he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I think you need to understand at the time, you know, as far as Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And the Assyrians were the enemy of Israel. And so the Lord's telling him to go to Nineveh to go speak His word to him. You know, you think you'd be a little scared? If God said, Mike and Rosie, I want you to go to Iran right now and go speak of the Lord. Probably a little bit of fear there, right? So think about where Jonah was at in that stage. So he decided to turn away and say, nah, I'm not going to listen to you, Lord. I'm not going to listen to your way. I'm not going to listen to your plans. And so as he's on the boat, this mighty storm comes in and starts rocking the boat. And the crew is like, why is this happening? And then Jonah tells them it's because of me. And so he says, so what the crew actually tries to do is they try to get him to shore. And as they try to go to the shore, the waves come crashing in even harder and the boat can't do it. And so Jonah just says, he surrenders and says, you know, throw me into the sea. But one of the things that's so cool that happens, throw me into the sea, just cast me aside. It's me. This is because of me. But one of the things that happened was, because he talks about it's who he is, and I don't want to give it away, but the crew ends up bowing their knee to the Lord in that sequence, which is so awesome. So because of his disobedience, but then God still used that to reach some lives there. And he does more later on here. So then Jonah gets tossed into the sea. He's swallowed by the fish, is what it says in the King James. People say it's a whale. I don't really think that matters. I think we'll find out someday. So what happened there, Lord? But in the fish or in the belly of this fish, he's crying out to the Lord. He's getting his heart back to where it needs to be. It actually says in verses 4, it says, I will look again toward thy holy temple. So he's crying out to the Lord, and he's looking back to the holy temple. And in 9, it says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, because salvation is the Lord. That which you have vowed, you gave your heart to the Lord. You accepted him into your life. You made a covenant with him. He made a covenant with you. Are you guys covenant breakers? Or do you want to seek what he has for you? That's pretty, you know, you don't break covenants. After he prayed out, the word of the Lord came back to Jonah a second time. And so he actually went to Nineveh and he preached under their warning of imminent destruction. And what happened was the people in Nineveh were spared. God was going to destroy that city and those people. And they repented and they were spared. They actually turned to the Lord. And see, Jonah didn't get that. You know, if you read on later in the scripture, he didn't get it. See, remember, he's part of Israel, and Nineveh is Assyrian, and they're the enemy. And he's thinking, like, I'm going to go tell them destruction, and God's going to kill them. Just, and why did you spare them, Lord? Is, you know, part of his later sequence in talking. So he was disappointed that they got spared because they were the enemy. But see, God accomplished what he wanted through Jonah, his plan, and he saved, I forget how many people there were in that city. Thousands, tens of thousands. Yeah, I don't know what the exact amount is. I think it might actually say the number in there in the scripture. So even though Jonah couldn't fully comprehend or understand what the plan, ultimate plan was, God still accomplished his goal. See, it's not about us. It's about he who is in us. See, Jonah looked back to the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is inside you. If you've given your heart to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is inside you. And that Holy Spirit will direct you. One of the keys that struck a chord with me in Jonah, and I skipped over that on purpose, was when he was on the ship before he got cast into it. He said, it's me. He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about right here at this point is fear of the Lord. That's a huge question. Do you have fear of the Lord? Do you have a fear to be out of his will, his way for you, your plan? Let's just stop and think about who we're talking about, okay? Think about who we're talking about. Creator of heaven and earth. He's omnipotent. We just talked about, he dwells in inapproachable light. He's holy. He's awesome. Do you have a fear of him? Do you get that? Do you guys understand that? Like, I read this scripture in 1 Chronicles, and I just loved this scripture. I shared this with some of the people here, that this is where David, just before he passed away, he had this prayer. And I want you to get a glimpse, because I just said some things about God, but I want you to get a glimpse of how David had this holy reverence. And he says in verse 10, he says, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And here it is, guys. This is monumental. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Oh my gosh! That is your God. That is our God. How awesome is he? How powerful. How could you not fear that? When you understand who he is, yes, we're going there. Don't you want to serve this God? Don't you want to serve his will? That holy reverence. I just pray, if you guys would mark that scripture down, 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 12. And I just pray that you just read that and pray on it. And that it just changed you to understand who you pray to when you guys pray. And understand that he is an awesome God. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Psalms 86:11, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And here it is. Unite my heart to fear thy name. See, God is all powerful. And where Brother Ed had just made a comment about breath, James chapter 4, verses 14 through 15, it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." See, our life is short. It's short here on earth. We talked about last week eternal significance. What are you doing that had eternal significance? How many of you prayed on that? How many of you looked for that opportunity this past week? I pray that you continue to dwell on that. What are you doing to make a difference in the kingdom? Not here on earth, not for yourself. His will. See, you and I are all going to stand before him someday. That could be today. I mean, every breath that I'm given is from God. And if God so chooses, tomorrow could be my last day, could be my last breath. I'm going to have to stand, not planning 30 years from now. I got another 30 years to wait on that. No, that could be tomorrow. It could be any moment for one of you guys, for each and every one of you. And then you are going to stand before God and give an account to him. So if that doesn't put the fear of you, because it's either going to say, "Well done, thy true and faithful servant. You seeked what I had for you. You followed my plan, my will." Or he's going to say, "Depart from me. You served yourself. You were selfish. You did nothing for me. I don't know you. Get away from me." That's pretty powerful. It is fearful. That's that holy reverence. We all are going to make an account one day. And if you can understand that every day in your actions and deeds, it's like, whoa, what am I doing here? What am I doing? It brings it all into perspective. You see, in Isaiah chapter 30, if you guys would turn there, I want to talk a little bit about Israel. And I'm going to read some of the scripture here. I'm not going to read all of it, but I am going to read some of it. And in chapter 30 of Isaiah, it says in verse 1, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and that have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." They made their own plans. They had this awesome plan. Hey, let's trust in Egypt. He's got many chariots and everything else. And God said, "You didn't seek me. You didn't seek what my will was. And so now, your shame. That's your problem. You put your trust in man. You put your trust in your own way instead of mine." And further on, in verse 9, it says that this, and I want you to think about today. Think about the church today when you read this, and us. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. There's a turn away from holiness in the church today. "Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, tantalize our ears," right? The people in 2 Timothy talks about like tantalizing ears, you know, give me just the message that makes me feel good. I held up to you that little notice of like, that church, you know, that's what's going on. And he says, "Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, because the Holy One of Israel deceives from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, stay thereon. And this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall. See, the high wall looks like it was a high wall. It looks strength and sturdy and this like awesome beacon from the outside, very much like a lot of our churches today. Thousands of people, this strong outside fortress, these mega structures, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces, and he shall not spare. Wow. So that there shall not be found in the bursting of it sure to take fire from the earth or to water withal out of the pit. That vessel was broken so bad, you couldn't even take it to get a little dollop of water out of it. That's what it's talking about there. It was gone. He destroyed it. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, in returning and rest, you would have been saved, and in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. And so the Lord says in verse 18, I will wait, that I might be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. That we go, fear the Lord. He has a plan for you. He has a way. And it says to wait. Wait upon him. And earlier, and it said, if you had returned in rest and be saved in quietness and confidence. Confidence in his way. He'll reveal that in his due time of what he wants you to do, to glorify him. The Holy Spirit will direct your path. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Egypt didn't do that. They made their own plans. They trusted in man. They trusted in their own devices. And the Lord turned away from them. In Psalms 119, 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I like that scripture, and I think Dad talked about it once. It was like a lamp under your feet. So when you're walking and you have a lamp under your feet, you can only see the little bit in front of you to see the steps that you're taking. You can't see off in the distance. And that's kind of like how God wants us to do and trust in him. You can't see what his way and his plan for you. You may not see that end result. You don't get to look in the foreknowledge to say, here's how it's all going to come together. Your job is to trust in him. And when he directs your step, you take that step. Where the light shines, you step. Don't step in darkness. Don't go on your own selfish ways. Step onto his step. Here, Jeff, I want you to go over here. Take a couple steps. Okay, I made it to here. Now what, Lord? Now what do you have me? I'll rest and I'll be quiet and I'll stand in confidence that I'm serving your will, your way, not my own. Now what, Lord? Where do you have me? Where do you want me to go? Study the word. Amen. Zechariah 3:7 says that, here's a promise. It says that, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies say, that if you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you'll be given authority over my temple and its courtyards. I will let you walk among these others standing here. Amen. So how do I do this? How do I trust him and his ways? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17, says, therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So are you seeking his way, his plans? And how do you do that? So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16, when I preach, guys, I'm sorry, I give you a lot of scripture. I don't want to give you my own interpretation of things. So if I go too quick for you, write down the scriptures or go back and listen to it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in his Spirit. In Philippians 2:13, because I'm tying this all together, 2:13 it says, for it is God which works in you. Not on you, but in you. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so we're talking about the Spirit. How many have the Spirit of God in them? If you gave your heart to the Lord, the Holy Spirit came to your heart. And I've used this scripture multiple times now in all these sermons, but I love it. And it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Bowing my knee, again, surrender, giving your heart to the Lord, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." The Holy Spirit's in you. His Holy Spirit. Ooh, sorry. This Holy Spirit is in you. That's like a supernatural event. God puts his Spirit in you, Tim. He put his Spirit in you. And you get this revelation to understand the fullness of God that passes our knowledge. The fullness of God. I just gave you a glimpse of who God was. That's just a glimpse. What we talked about, that First Chronicles scripture, that you know the fullness of God, that he's going to be able to accomplish what he wants to because you seek him. You bow him. And then it says you're rooted and grounded in that. There's a confidence that comes with that when you are rooted and grounded in his will and his way. When you're out of his will and out of his way, you flounder. Exactly. You're tossed to and fro. That's just awesome. I love that scripture. There's just so much going on there, and it's just how awesome that the word just pops out of the page. It gives you a glimpse. So the Holy Spirit's inside you. Now how do you get the direction? You got to get in his word. We talked about it in the men's Bible study. This is your manuscript. This Bible. This page right here. It's not self-help books. It's not the purpose-driven life. Ugh. This is it. God has his commandments and your way of living and the things that he wants from you. It's all in here. All the answers are in here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." One of Dad's scriptures that he loved and used constantly. One of the first scriptures my wife learned. Because his word roots you, right? You see how, what he is trying to accomplish in you and through you. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 3 through 11, it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, and hear, your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and the nations that knew not thee shall run unto because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee." And here it goes. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way." Yes. Forsake your own way. Seek the Lord. I mean, these are our commandments right here. This is giving us direction, right? "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it returns not hither, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so the last part of that scripture says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It does not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jonah brought the word of the Lord, and it saved tens of thousands because being obedient. See, we could focus on our own thoughts, but when did our thoughts ever come into play here? It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's about him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See, there's delight when you have when you seek his way. That's in Psalms 37:23. We delight. We focus on God's thoughts, his word, rather than getting stressed out about how things go beyond our control. Because it says in that scripture in Isaiah that accomplishes that which I please. Your job isn't to figure out what pleases God as far as like what his plan is there. I mean, you do want to please God in being obedient to him. One of the things I was talking to about with mom yesterday is I said, you have to have a spirit of thanksgiving with everything that God does, even when things don't go according to your plan. Rejoice in what he is doing. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Jonah, they said there was a sacrifice of a spirit of thanksgiving. So you rejoice. You have a spirit of thanksgiving of whatever God's doing. Don't look at it as a negative. It's like the glass is half full or glass is half empty. You know, I was talking about with mom. She was having a hard time yesterday. It was like with dad being gone. And I said, have a spirit of thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for taking dad and that he doesn't have any pain or sickness or sorrow. What now, Lord? What is your will? What is your will for my life? What do you want to accomplish through me until I come and stand before you? There's so much time. She could have another 30 years here, 50 years, 10 years. What is it that God wants to accomplish through you? You guys should all be asking those same questions. What does God want to accomplish through you? What do you want now, Lord? Brian, if you come up. You have to have faith in God, on his way. Because the world, see, Satan will come against you when you start to seek God and his will and his way. And I'm reminded that it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up your cross and deny yourself. That's not easy. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. The world tells you to do your thing. Make a name for yourself. Get your name up in the lights. Life's short. Live it your way. That's not what God or Jesus said. Jesus said also in Matthew 10:38-39, he says, we just talked about deny yourself, pick up your cross. Jesus, this is Jesus' words, not my words. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. See, if you surrender and you seek his will, his way, his plans, you find a new life, a life that's more abundant. And I'm not talking about abundant as far as like material things. I'm talking about a life abundant in the Lord. That it doesn't matter what goes on. As time draws near, guys, this world is coming to an end. It says it in the scriptures. All that going on is just noise. It's white noise. Because if you're in His will, you can rest assured in it. You'll find a life. You'll find that peace and rest and comfort in knowing, hey, it's okay. Doesn't matter what comes against me. I know I'm following my Father and what He directed. A life abundant in Him. A life where His will, desire, plans, and His way are accomplished. Don't be afraid. Delight in the Lord, because here are His promises. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He is with you always. Always. And I love this promise, and it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Because it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What are we talking about? His purpose. All, His plans work together for good. You can't screw them up when you're following His will. Now that's a promise. Something the world or your plans cannot provide. Now it's your job to seek and find what He has for you. His way, not your way. We sang that song last week. It'll be my joy to say, your will, your way. Now that you would be in His will, you can live in hope knowing God's best is coming. Because it's His plan, His way that you are now living. Do you guys understand that? You understand the brevity of the message? The importance of it? I just pray. Let's bow our heads, guys. Heavenly Father, we come to You. And we love You, Lord, and we seek You. We understand how holy and awesome and powerful You are, that You are exalted above all. And we're sorry, Lord, for following our own way, seeking our own plans above You, Lord. Your scripture says to seek You first, to love You first over everything. Forgive us for not doing that. Let us be changed from today moving forward, Lord, that we just seek Your will, Your way, Your plans, that you want to accomplish every day, Lord. Work in us and through us. Let Your Spirit be glorified in us, Lord. Give my brothers and sisters words to speak to accomplish Your goal, Lord. Let the love that You gave for us on the cross just flow through us, that we be examples to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You guys are dismissed.